We're going to have morning prayer, and are there prayer requests? Anyone? Shirley.
For Mary Heath, her grandson has been diagnosed with leukemia. They're still trying to find all of what exactly pinpoint what it is, but she's over there with him.
Okay. What's his name?
Craig.
So I don't know if you all heard that, but Mary Heath's grandson has been diagnosed with leukemia. Keith? Okay, Dan and Lina and their transportation.
Silent,
unspoken prayer. Are there others? Yeah. Anyone else? I'm sure we all have prayers, that people that we know of that need prayer and so many things in our lives. So shall we all kneel for prayers, as many who can? Lord, we trust you, and we know that you, Lord, will be to us all that you say you are, that we don't have to be overwhelmed by our troubles, that we could face them with hope and peace and bring them to your throne. I'm reminded of the phrase, nothing to our own we bring, but simply to the cross we cling. And we want to do that this morning, Lord, as we bring these people who have been spoken out loud to you. Mary Heath, pray for her and also for her grandson and his parents, Craig. And we want to pray for Dan and Lina as they're looking for transportation. We have many unspoken prayers, Lord. You know what's on our hearts and just how to meet those requests. We come to you now and we pray for your Holy Spirit to just be poured over us, that the love from you will be poured out on our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. When Dr. Hansen called me to read the scripture this morning, he said it was one of his favorites. It's also one of my favorites. And so I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then, as I was, I read all of 29 and went on to read 30, 31, 32, 33. And there are so many promises that the Lord makes to Israel as they spend their time in Babylon. And so I think he was really trying to encourage them.
Happy Sabbath, church family. Amen. God is good. Amen. I All the time, right? You know, as I was anticipating the snow, because, you know, the weather told us that we're going to get snow and everything, I wanted my in-laws to see it so bad because it's so pretty. And I was like, Lord, please let us know right before they come. Well, when they started leaving, the snow started falling. It wasn't as pretty, you know? Like, it's just falling, it's grays, you know, and all that. But then they had left to go to Seattle, and so they had to go through the mountains. And they were really awed by all the snow that was up there. They took so much video, and they were sending me videos. Like, oh, this is so beautiful. And they really enjoyed. They stopped. They made Barbara stop a couple times to take pictures. And it's really amazing because, you know, it's pretty when it doesn't, when, you know, the regular mountains and the, you know, the trees and all that. But, you know, it's all dried up. You know, it's a little depressing because it's not as pretty as what it is in the spring when you have all the mountains that are green and everything and the flowers blooming. Then the summer is like, it's okay because, you know, it's still sunny. Mountains are golden and all that. And then it comes the fall where it's just like this point between the fall and winter. Like, and we've had that for a while. We've been kind of blessed with good weather. But then it gets kind of like, and then all of a sudden, when I woke up this morning and I saw the white snow covering and making everything so pretty, I just said, thank you, Lord, because it just brought this joy to my heart. I don't know why. I hate shoveling snow and all that, but for a brief moment, I just love seeing it. I love watching it there on the mountains. It could stay on the mountains, just not on the driveway or my car. Everywhere else is okay. And so my in-laws, they sent me like 1,000 pictures and thanking me and everything. Thank you for bringing us here. It's so beautiful. And really, they had such an amazing time here. They were able to visit the three churches and everything, and everybody was so kind to them and welcoming. And just want to thank you guys for sharing that love with them and making them feel welcome. My father-in-law preached in the Spanish church, and you know he's an older gentleman, but he loves preaching the word, and he brought a different point, you know, different points of view, and people just, you know, they really it was well received, and so I'm just grateful that they had a great experience here. I'm not one of those in-laws that I don't like my in-laws. I actually love them, and they're very very good to me, and I have a lot of respect and love for them, so I was very happy to have them here. Besides, that's why my wife is not here today, because they left early yesterday because of the snowstorm to be on time in the airport for tonight. They're flying out tonight, so they're probably in some other church today. But besides that, I wanted to share something with y'all. Last year, around this time, you guys also participated in Boys and Girls Club filling the stockings with things. So, for example, you have Tommy here. He's a second grader, and you can fill the stocking up with whatever you like. This is from the Boys and Girls Club, where they give to people that sign up for it because they can't, you know, either afford the toys or whatever you want to put in here. So normally there is a list of things that you can put in there, like the person put what they want. But if it's for a second grader, you could put whatever you like. Now, I like to double dip, okay, when these things come up, because you can give a toy, but you could also share Jesus, amen? And so this is our opportunity to not only feed the community with, you know, things that it needs, but also share Jesus in some way. Be creative. It doesn't have to just be a coloring book of Jesus and, you know, whatever. It could be something creative. I don't know. You think, there's a lot of things you can go online for and be creative on how you can share Jesus. So this is a perfect opportunity. There's 25 of them. I didn't get that many this year because there was, Barbara was the one that picked them up. And so, you know, she said, I think 25 is a good number. They will be back there. And, so just feel free to participate in this. It's a way of, our church can reach out to the community. Last year, we were actually one of the main churches that gave the most. So I just wanted to thank you for that, for representing in our community. The other thing is that come January 6th, some people are wondering about January 6th. And so before I leave, I just wanted to kind of let you guys know January 6th is a big day. Make sure you save that day on your calendar. That Sabbath we're going to meet in the Agriplex in Okanagan, okay? And so why we're meeting there? Because all seven churches in our district, including the Spanish, our Brewster Spanish Church, will be there as well to, number one, celebrate together the New Year's, amen, the new beginning of our year together. And number two, we're looking forward to hearing our guest speaker, I guess you can say, our evangelist for April 4th. He will be there, and he will share a message of hope, a message of revival, right, to kind of motivate us, right, to work for this big evangelistic meeting happening April 6th through the 27th. And so there's a lot of work to be done. That day, there will be potluck. There will be training as well. So if you haven't I put back there, and I know that it's kind of hard because we have a lot of other empty things back there from, you know, people, sign up sheets for downstairs, sign up sheets for, welcoming people here or whatever. But if you feel motivated and want to just say, you know what, I want to give it a try and I want to be partake in something that big, there is a sign up sheet back there. We're not saying that you have to be there every single day, but we want to know if you're willing. And then there's a calendar, and 1, 2, 3 days, it'll be awesome and amazing to see all of us cooperate and be able to share. And there, and on January 6th, there will be a lot of information given to you as well pertaining to what's going to happen in the next couple months between then and April. So please put that on your calendars to be able to go there. It's about a 20-minute drive, not too bad, and it's right off the freeway. All right. So I wanted to share that with y'all. I will be gone until January 2nd. Please pray for me as I go to the Dominican Republic. I'm preaching in a youth convention. Several churches will be there. And so may God use me and help me to give the gospel to young people. And then my family will be joining me for a little vacation. I'm going to go visit my grandmother, too, who has only about 27% of her heart working, 27% of her heart working, and I want to see her alive and before anything happens to her. So pray for my travels. I really appreciate it. Speaking of praying, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer really quick before I start the word. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your gratefulness, for your mercy and your grace that abounds for everyone at this particular moment. As we open up this word, I pray, Father, that you allow us to receive it, understand it, and be able to share it with others. We want to trust you. We want to put all our efforts in what it is to be able to see you again face to face. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, good morning. Again, happy Sabbath. As we stand here towards the new year, we're already, you know, it's been a long time, and I know that we've had a lot of, like I stated in my last sermon, we've had a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of things have transpired throughout the year. I'm grateful for a lot of things, and if I was to stay here and just say thank you for all the things, I'd probably be here probably a day or two or three. Just I can think of all the things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for a lot of you for being here. And when I say being here, I mean like really being here and making this church what it is, right? Without you, a lot of things wouldn't be, and we wouldn't be here. One of the things that as I reflect on the year, when I first started, I want to go back actually a couple of years, but when I first started here in Brewster, I had an elder with me. He was my first elder at the time. And you guys know who I'm going to talk about if it's my first elder. That was LeWayne. He was my elder at the time. And I couldn't understand LeWayne very much. You know, he's not here today, but, you know, I didn't understand his situation, what was going on with him. And so all I know is I couldn't hear him. And so sometimes it was very hard of hearing him. And, I was trying to, you know, kind of adapt to him. I didn't know so much about him, but I learned that he had a condition and that it was progressing. But everybody kept telling me that he was this other person, right? And I was like, okay. So he invited me to his house to have a nice meal. And I loved the fact, I mean, beautiful home and view of Brewster. You know, I was new to all this, so I was just like in awe of everything. I would see any mountain in Brewster in a way. And so they brought me to this meal. We had a wonderful meal. You know, chit-chat here and there, little stories here and there, and just getting to know LeWayne. And then from there, I remember that he asked me a question. He says, Pastor, have you been, you know, you're at Alta Lake. Have you been up the mountain on Alta Lake? And I said, no, I haven't been up the mountain on Alta Lake. He says, well, let me take you there. And I said, okay. So he goes, Sunday morning, you know, let's go up there, meet up 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock it was. He's let's go meet up there. And I'm wondering, I'm like, okay, so he's just going to take me to see the, you know, Alta Lake and the mountain. I haven't gone yet, even though I live right behind it. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Let's go. So I remember we started walking, you know, and then chit-chatting and just kind of walking. And I brought my dog with me, okay, thinking that this was just going to be a regular walk, all right? Let me tell you something. As we were walking, I said, LeWayne, where are we going? Because there was a path at first, and then things started getting a little rocky, okay? And it was like getting steeper and steeper as, you know, as we were kind of going up this. He's like, we're going up there. And I said, what do you mean we're going up there? He's like, yeah, we're going up there. And I'm looking at his condition, right? I'm not even thinking about myself at the moment. I'm like, I hope nothing happens to this, you know, this man. Like, I can't bring him down if anything happens to him. You know what I mean? Like, if he falls or something, I'm like, I could barely bring myself up there, right? So we're walking, and I'm halfway between my dog and I. We're huffing and puffing, okay? My dog's looking at me like, when are we going to stop? You know, can we go back? And LeWayne is about, I kid you not, LeWayne was about 10 steps ahead of me, okay? He was about 10 steps ahead of me, and he turns around, and he says, Pastor, are you okay? Am I going too fast for you, okay? This is LeWayne with Parkinson's disease, okay, with his disease. He's about 10 steps ahead of me. I mean, watching him was the scariest thing, because there was some circumstances where the rocks were really, like, there was no path. He had to literally climb on rocks, and I would see him, you know, I don't know, adjust and try to balance himself, okay? And I'm like, Lord, and all I saw was just, like, straight down the cliff, and I'm like, Lord, please, Lord, don't, please, please. And I'm huffing, like, you can see there, my shirt is all wet and drenched. He was cool. He was cool, calm, and collected. He wasn't huffing or puffing, okay? By the time we got to the top, my dog was so happy, he literally drank all my water bottle, okay? LeWayne is like, you know, he hasn't even drank an ounce of water. Like, he's just hanging out there with me. He says, Pastor, you're the only one that has ever come up to the mountain with me out of all the pastors. And I said, well, that made me feel, I was a little bit proud. I was like, that's a good thing to know, LeWayne. I said, now we up here, and how are we going to get down, okay? Because one thing is going up, another thing is going down. And so as we were going down, it was a little bit easier. The sun wasn't hitting us as hard. And eventually, as you can see here, I have a smile on my face. You know, you guys want to know why I have a smile on my face? Because I was actually winning. You know, I was actually winning, and I was a little bit faster than him going down. And I was like, okay, it's not that bad, I guess. But what I learned about LeWayne from here and on is that he is very competitive. Okay, he makes everything. He's similar to Ed. I don't know what Ed is, but he's similar to Ed. Okay, and everything that we've done, from pickleball to climbing other mountains and stuff like that, having walks, he wanted me to go one time. What is that skiing thing that you guys do? Cross country skiing. I was like, nah, LeWayne, I'm not going cross. No, that's a workout. That's a big workout there. He's like, no, it's you'll love it. It's fine. I was like, I just don't trust you, LeWayne. Sorry. I probably end up, you know, lost somewhere up in the mountains or something. But I learned to trust LeWayne, even though with his condition, I learned to trust him, you know, and not doubt him. I remember a couple times where we played pickleball, and I thought that, you know, he was slow and all this other stuff because, no, he wanted to win, and he did amazing things in pickleball that I didn't think he could do, okay? Like, he would jump, okay? And that would scare me, but he would not only jump, he would hit the ball and you know, get me out. And, or out of nowhere, it would just kick in. All the way would kick in, and we had such a great time a lot of times. And I just learned to trust him, and he had great advice for me, and I really appreciated his time throughout the years. The reason I bring that up is because, you know, over the years, you know, many of us have learned to also have to trust God, right? We may not know everything and why things happen or why we're going through what we're going through. And I could tell you countless of times throughout the year, I had to learn to really trust God. I didn't know what was happening or why it was happening. Some things were my fault. Some things were not my fault. It just came to me. But I had to learn how to trust God. And so today I want to be kind of short in our sermon. I want to just give you guys, as we move forward, right? Because as we look back, we can say, oh, I'll never do that again. Or I should have, would have, you know, and we can, you know, look back. And what I like to do is whenever I look back, I like to just learn from my mistakes and keep it there. I don't like, I'm not type person to be like resentful and, you know, yes, you could have said, you know, you could have done things differently and you could have, but at the same time, I don't want to stay back there. I think God gives us to live the moment, to live now and to make the changes now and to look forward, right? Always planning to look forward to what's to come and preparing ourselves. So I like to share with you, at least in today's, delve into the Word of God, how we can discover, 7 biblical ways, to look forward to the new year. 7 biblical ways that we could look forward to New Year's through the Word of God, through verses that some of them were actually read today, and I'll be sharing with you today. The first thing is, you know, we need to seek God's guidance. You know, as we look forward to the new year, we have to seek God's guidance. And, you know, and I don't know if I remember. I think I did last Sabbath. The actual theme that I would like for us to have in mind throughout the whole year of next year is returning to God's promises 2024. Returning to God's promises. You know, and so as we seek God's guidance, we're going to see those promises like in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. How many times do we try to understand why things are happening? And we really just can't understand why these things are happening to us. We get out of one mess to get into another mess. I know Sister Rose can relate as she was going through so many things this year. And it seemed as though one thing was after another. She'll be sharing that story pretty soon. But, you know, I've always learned to, like, in my moments of despair, in my moments of, in which I'm trying to understand these things that are happening to me, you know, a lot of times our heart and our mind can, especially our heart, because it's a thing of emotions, right? It could kind of lead us into a different path if we try to understand things based on emotions. You know, it doesn't give us a clear cut. And so by understanding what God wants in our lives and looking for His guidance, regardless of what's happening in our surroundings, I think we can, and we submit ourselves to Him, I think that we can have build a trust in Him and have a straighter path into where we're headed, what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing. And so I know that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, where is the church heading? Why are we, you know, struggling, or why are we not where we need to be? And so the first thing we need to do is seek God's guidance. I think in our lives personally, if we all were to do that, then the church would start to march where it needs to go. Okay, so seeking God's guidance as a individual and as a church is definitely very vital to our beginning the new year, or even starting today. We don't have to wait until the new year comes, right? The second thing is we have to set godly goals. Okay, guys, we have to set godly goals. You know, I know that, for example, I have a goal this year. One of my personal goals is I don't want to be in no debt. I want to get out of all my debts, right? We always kind of say that. Another goal is, oh, I want to lose at least 10, 15 pounds. You know, I want to be lighter on my knees. And so I want to lose 10, 15 pounds. I've been saying that since I started here. Now, the thing is, those are good goals. Those are personal goals. But are they godly, right? How godly are they? Now, you can make it a godly goal because God doesn't want you to be in no type of debt, right? Amen? We shouldn't have no debt because we become slaves to whom? To who we are in debt with. If anything, we should be slaves to God and debt with God, right? But a lot of times when we're in debt, right, we're in debt because of, you know, whatever situation. And then who do we owe money to? The banks, etc. So we have to kind of think about that. Look what this verse says here in Philippians 3, 13, 14. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is that prize? What is that heavenward that we're looking forward to? What are we doing to reach out and get that prize, right? Eyes on the prize, who is Christ Jesus. Now, the thing here is that there is a great commission that the Lord Jesus has given us, right? And so everything in our lives has to be revolved not around what I think is good, but what God wants in my life, right? We have to set godly goals. Everything that we do is embedded with God being number one in everything. So if it is my debt this year, then I had to put God first, and maybe I had to make some changes where, and putting God first and trusting in Him, it would allow me to be able to have that eyes on the prize, spending more time with Christ. Maybe I'm actually preaching when I'm over there in Dominican Republic in regards to stewardship. And so stewardship is not just tithing, but it's basically tithing everything in your life, putting God first in everything, and making sure that you have that time with Christ Jesus, so that basically whatever is happening, you know that God is always in it, okay? And you're not second guessing, because if He's guiding you, then there shouldn't be any second guessing of to why these things are happening to you or what is going on in your life today. So I'm just saying, this is something that I personally have been able to see in my life. When I do set godly goals and not just individual goals that make me feel good or give me a higher status or I feel I'm successful or whatever it is. But when I put godly goals, my friends, everything else is secondary and it just falls, everything else falls in its compartment. And you don't have to really, struggle there if you set godly goals. The other thing is that I think that one of our, that I think is very important as we, you know, want to continue to encourage ourselves and seeking God's guidance and in every aspect of our lives is, how do we get there? Well, number one is by pray for wisdom, you know. We need to pray for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should, what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. Wow, what a wonderful promise that God gives us. You know, when we need wisdom, He will give it to us. I can't tell you how many times I'm driving and I'm like, Lord, how do I get through this? How do I get by today? You know, what are the necessary steps? And all of a sudden something just boom enters my mind. You know, or I'm looking in scripture and I'm looking for something else, but, you know, I have prayed for some wisdom. I'm looking for something and all of a sudden, boom, I open up the Bible and it's right there. Like, guys, as we're looking for this guidance, as we're looking for different reasons in which we set these godly goals, the wisdom will come to you because we are we're setting up a foundation in the right manner. We're setting the foundation and putting our trust in God. And so I can't emphasize the importance of setting goals and aligning with God's purpose, not with our purpose, but with God's purpose and what He wants to do in our lives. When we do that, our mindset changes completely. Like I said, you can go through the worst thing, but because you already have a foundation, you have no doubt that God will guide you through that situation. He will walk with you through the valley of shadow of death. And you have no worry to fear for evil, you know. And this is easier said than done, but when it happens, it will be like nothing. It'll be like, when those things come in your life, you're like, oh, okay, I'm ready for this. Because you've prepared that foundation. You, there's no worrying you because you're trusting in God. This is a daily thing. This is not just a one-time thing. And so we have to continue to understand that God's wisdom is the best. Amen. And so there's a lot of wisdom out there, my friends, but God's wisdom is the best. So I encourage you to start a new year by seeking God's wisdom through prayer. You know, a lot of you are prayer warriors, and I praise God for that, because I've seen through all the emails and texts that you guys send each other, you know, sometimes I don't respond to those things. I just go ahead and pray and all that. And I don't respond out of like, not because I'm not there or anything. Like, I read them and I see what you guys send and all that. But you know what I like to do? I like to see how God will work. I like to see the power of God. And I just wait until somebody says, well, this is what happened. And that happened. I'm like, amen. Like, you guys don't understand how joyful I am when I see that brothers and sisters start replying and saying, hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then as you guys end up, as I see always in the text, well, he's out of surgery and everything went well, or the prayer was answered. I'm like, amen. I knew it. I just knew it. I knew that this was going to happen. And so it encourages me and it gives me a lot of faith to see that my friends are praying. So continue praying, my friends. The commitment to the Lord and whatever you do through prayer is going to see through. So I urge you to entrust your plans and aspirations for the new year. The other thing is committing to the Lord. You know, as you pray, you're committing yourself to the Lord daily. And in committing to the Lord daily, look what it says in Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit to the Lord in whatever you do, and he will what? He will establish your plans. Amen. He will establish your plans. We can, a lot of times, my friends, we make our own plans. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. You know, I'm going to visit my family. I'm going to do this. Well, what is your plan in visiting them? Is your plan to let them know not just that you're mom and dad and that you love them, but maybe there's something that the Lord wants you to tell them. Maybe there's some news. Maybe there's something they need to hear. Maybe maybe they're going through something and they haven't told you and they're afraid to tell you. So when we go do these visits, whether it's our grandchildren, whether it's our family and friends, whether it's Walmart, okay, do you know how many divine appointments I've had in Walmart or here in Ace or in the Brewster store, Marcus Place, or wherever in parking lot? I mean, wherever it is, there is a divine appointment waiting for you. And so because you've established yourself, you committed to the Lord in the beginning of the year or whenever that is today, if possible, right? If that is your choice. If you commit to the Lord and whatever you do, he will establish your plans. Well, if your plans is his plans, then you have nothing to worry about. Then you will have those divine appointments. You will have that moment to share the gospel, to be able to uplift your brother and sister when they're facing troubles, to be able to be an example, to be able to shine your light to the world that the Lord has given you, all right? To be able to fulfill the Great Commission, amen? I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to come, right? And so if I want Jesus to come, I have to make sure that I'm connected to the source. I'm connected to him. And so if that is the case, then I have to commit to him 100%. I can't commit only 50 or 75 or whenever I get the chance. I have to commit to him 100%. And so let him establish those plans in my life. Amen? Amen. Lastly, but also very importantly, embrace God's promises. You know, the Lord, at least in my life, I can tell you that the Lord, over and over again, he's always kept his side of the bargain. You know, just like Israel, you know, when we're looking here at Jeremiah 29:11, you know, Israel, you know, they've done some things. They've always, you know, like, they always find themselves in a situation that they didn't need to be in. Right? They didn't need to be in this situation with Babylon. They didn't need to be in the situation with Egypt and all these other things. But it seems as though the reason they were in those situations after so many years and them going over and over again the same thing is because not only of bad leadership, I would say is more because we forget. For some reason, even though we're creatures of, you know, habit and all that, we tend to forget. That's a habit that we have sometimes that is bad. And so we tend to forget the goodness of God and how he's seen us through and how we've built this foundation with him. But we're so easily and readily to disrupt that foundation. And so I encourage you today, my friends, to embrace God's promises. Hey, one of the things as an entrepreneur when I was younger and I read all these books and all this other stuff, one of the things that we do, and I don't know maybe if you do this, but one of the things that I used to do was, you know, write positive, like, quotes and things like that. You know, keep them around, always around me. Like, especially when I was into sales and I was building up this company for a heating oil company. I was building a sister company for them. And I remember that a lot of times I would be in the office and someone would always say something like, hey, how's it going? And they're very sarcastic. And they were just ready, like, to shoot me down. Like, you know, the company will never take off. This will never work. You know, they would say it in different ways, never like so direct. And I remember that sometimes that those things kind of hurt a little bit, because I'm like, listen, man, like, why do you want to see me fall so bad? You know, like, or fail so bad. Let me tell you something. Just like God has a plan for each and one of you, and for myself as well. Guess who else has a plan for you? Satan. He's devising how to make your life super miserable, how to doubt and forget God's promises. And he don't start with big things. It'll just be like the smallest little thing, little pebble in your sneaker, right? Or in your shoe. He'll start like that. And then he'll put another one. And next thing you know, you're stumbling upon big rocks. And so we have to remember God's promises, my friends, because just like Satan has a plan for you, God has a better plan for you. And if you're under God's plan, nothing, right, can take that away from you. Look what it says here. For I know the plans I have for you. This is New Standard Version. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, right, to give you a future and a hope, to give us a future and a hope. What is the future that God is trying to give us? What is the future? What is the hope that he's trying to give us? That every single day, right? And so if you don't know what that is, maybe that's something that you need to dive into. Because I feel that even though the big picture is that we will see him face to face one day, right? But in order for us to see him face to face one day and be able to lift our hands and say, Lord, here I am, my friends, we need to prepare our hearts and souls now. We need to prepare our hearts and minds now. Right? For that future in which we will see him face to face. Because let me tell you something, if we don't prepare ourselves, if we don't allow those plans to be fulfilled in our lives that God wants to fulfill in our lives, if we give up because of what someone says or whatever happens, my friends, when we see him face to face, it would not be a good thing, right? If we're not prepared either with our hearts and our mind, we will be running away. We would want the rocks, what it says, the rocks and the mountains fall upon us. And so we have to be very careful and understand that God has all these promises, but we have to proclaim these promises in our lives and we have to keep them. And so as an entrepreneur, like what I was saying was I used to write them sticky notes all over the place. Drive my wife crazy. I used to put them in my Bible. I used to put them wherever it was, the ones I liked the best. And I would keep this and I would remind myself. I'll have them where I can see them, right? If I wasn't good at memorizing, but I was good at seeing them. And then I would remember them. And guess what? When someone says something, I knew it was right there. I said, nope, I'm going to keep pressing forward, you know? And sure enough, you will succeed in God's plans, because his plans become your plans. And no matter what happens, the Lord will always see you through. Amen. And so the last thing I wanted to say is in Psalms 33:4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is what, my friends? He is faithful in all that he does. Not some things, in all that he does. My friends, I can't tell you that for us, as we look forward to the next year, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to have World War III. We don't know if our government is going to fail us. We don't know if the, you know, stock market is going to crash and money is worth nothing. I mean, we know some things because of Bible prophecy, but we don't know how soon these things are going to happen. We don't know how longer God is going to take, right? Amen for his mercy, amen for his grace. But at the same time, the doors of probation will be closing for all of us. And so we have to make sure that when that door closes, that we continue to reflect on God's faithfulness and not the faithful, and not how man and what man promises. Because man has failed us over and over again. Pastor will fail you over and over again, but God never fails. Amen. God will always see us through. And so he's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the present. And he will also be faithful in the future, because he is God. And so I wanted to end with this conclusion that as we embark on this journey, let us remember, all right? Let us remember that our God is faithful and his promises endure forever. May we trust in his guidance. That was our number one, right? May we set the godly goals, right? May we seek for his wisdom and commit our plans to him and embrace his promises and reflect on his faithfulness and cultivate a spirit of thankfulness as we approach this year. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so if we cultivate this and we do all these things, my friends, you will prepare yourself to have the divine appointment. It don't matter who you were in the past. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you committed in the past. The Lord will put that person in front of you. The Lord will bring someone to you that needs to know that there is an amazing God waiting to save them, to give them hope, to give them a future that He's promised you and I, and that you are living currently. And so let us, with God, you know, let us step into the new year with confidence that there is hope, and that there is a God that loves us unconditionally and is just waiting for us to surrender ourselves to Him and allowing us to be embedded with His plans, and everything that we have in our lives be something that will be life-changing to the point where others will also want a piece of that pie, a piece of that heaven, a piece of I'm thinking about food. I'm smelling the food already. A piece of what's to come, my friends. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know. There's a lot of rumors out there. There's a lot of, speakers talking about Israel and this and that. And, you know, my friends, at the end of the day, rumors of war and all that. Jesus warns us of all this, right? Jesus tells us about all this. And this has been happening. It seems as though it keeps happening over and over again, but it's more intense and more intense. Technology is crazy right now. It's crazy, the technology that is out there and the things that are happening and whatnot. And so we have to kind of say, okay, Lord, we know this is happening, but what's happening in my life? And what's happening in my life really reflecting your plans? And so we have to ask that question. Where do I fit in your plans, Lord? Because I don't want to be left behind. I really don't. To be 20, 30, 40, 50 years in church and believing in a God and a Sabbath, to know that, you know, the scripture and Ellen White says, or Spirit of Prophecy says, that even the very elite will fall. The very elite will fall. And so if that's the case, my friends, what about us that are just the laborers, right? So let us not, I don't want to end with that note, but I just want us to reflect, really, that we have to trust God's path for us and His plans for us. I want to, I hope that you would want to as well. If that is the case, I ask you to please stand. If you want to trust God's path and His plans for you, let us stand and let us pray, and we'll sing this hymn and end our day. God in heaven, as we come to a close here today, it is a beginning in which we want to start with you as we set our eyes on what's to come next year. We don't have to wait until the clock says January 1st. We can do it right now. And Father, I know that a lot of times we have a lot of situations and circumstances that prevent us from seeing and trusting. But at this moment, Father, your word tells us that you are in control of everything and that we can trust you. If we just remember, if we just put in practice what we've seen and what we've heard and what we know. Father, allow us to experience change in our lives, the change that you require, not because we want other brothers and sisters to see us or see that we're doing this or doing that, but may the change come from a genuine perspective. Maybe we genuine in our hearts, knowing that we have little time in this earth, but an eternity to spend with you. And so we want to our hearts and minds to be prepared. I know that's sometimes hard, Father, because we fight sometimes against flesh. There's these things that sometimes it seems as though we can't overcome. And I thank you for that, because that means that we need to rely more on Jesus. We need to rely more on your word and filling our hearts with that. That is the only way that we will overcome. It is to fill our hearts and minds more with Jesus, allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, and to perfect us day by day. Father, we want to be a holy nation. We want to be acceptable in your eyes. But we need to ask you for forgiveness, and we need to humble ourselves and repent and move forward. Not looking back, but look forward to spending our lives with you forever. We know that there are others that are in need of that hope. And so we pray, Father, that whatever it is, whenever it is, may it be your timing that these individuals may come to our lives and be ready to receive the message. So we pray this, Father, because we know that our church has a lot of plans for next year, a lot of things going on, and so we want it to be your plans. We want you to speak to our hearts and mind, and then we may make the decision to be with you. May we not look towards any man, any pastor, any deacon or elder or whatever. May we look towards you, Father. Amen. Only you. May we keep our eyes on Jesus always. Just like Ellen White had the midnight cry, Father, may we keep your eyes on Jesus and on the word of God and on your word, Father. We love you. We can't wait to see you. So that's why we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing our last hymn.
I remember this hymn when I was a kid, and in our church school, there was always a pianist, you know, these kids that were learning the piano. I never got that opportunity, and they'd love to play this song and other songs, and we memorized these songs. How many of you know this song by memory? Maybe not every verse, but first and last. I think a lot of us do, and the words are like a prayer, and I just love them, so I hope that you could appreciate what God is trying to what Pastor shared with us today, and that we can leave this place blessed and be able to hear his voice throughout the week. Trust and obey.
Father, we are so grateful for the opportunities to trust and obey as we claim your promises and see them come to life in the people that we meet. May we share you with all we come in contact, and may we teach them also to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.